ESPN Radio, 1392.5, The Bottom Line with Brad Taylor. Thank you so much for joining us on this blessed Sunday morning. If you're looking for sports talk without that political talk mixed in, you've come to the right place here on this NFL Sunday, 859-381-1313, to join in on the conversation. And yes, we stick to sports on this show, unlike the political wannabes across town. We know what's going on in the world, and you didn't tune in to ESPN Radio to hear about politics. And you also didn't tune in for poll questions about what's your favorite Thanksgiving side either. You want to hear about sports talk, and nobody in this market gives you actionable information quite like The Bottom Line with Brad Taylor. You can follow us on Twitter at Bottom Line Lex. Thanks again for listening. Coming up on today's show, good news for the Big Blue Nation. We aren't spending today talking about another terrible performance from Kentucky football. We'll save that for next week, maybe. However, we will tell you how Kentucky is the best team in America out in the desert. Speaking of local teams cashing tickets, the Bengals are also on a bye week today. Why don't we have anything to talk about? No Kentucky football, no Cincinnati Bengals football. What do we have to talk about? Oh, we got quite a bit. Our favorite college basketball prognosticator gives his opinion on Kentucky basketball for the coming season. Spoiler alert, Big Blue Nation ain't going to like it. And of course, the most profitable segment in Lexington radio, as we will hand out our Mac Daddy Stogie picks for week 9 of the NFL season, coming off yet another profitable week. All that and much more coming up here on The Bottom Line. But first, every dark cloud has a silver lining. For the first time since early September, we don't have a Kentucky football game to discuss here on a Sunday morning. And going off the last couple of games, that's probably a good thing. And a lot of people have commented that this show is because they've come down pretty hard on this Kentucky football team. But what we've said is always backed up by statistical data. It's not opinion. It's not cliche. It's not the eye test or gut feeling. We use numbers to back up the opinions we have on this show. We weren't one of those local media homers either that said that Kentucky football was going to win 7, probably 8 games this season. Where are those people now? We don't know. Anyway, if you want us to tell you that we believe in unicorns and leprechauns and pots of gold at the end of the rainbow, go listen to those fanboys across town. We live in big boy world and tell it like it is. We worry more about cashing tickets and picking winners than seeing our favorite local teams win. And a lot of listeners of this show, I know, because they've told me, feel the same way. And with that in mind, we have actually found a way where you can make a few dollars off this Kentucky football team this season, even in a year where they're struggling like they are right now, if you can believe that. Currently, Kentucky football sits at 2-4 on the season. For our purposes, they're 3-3 against the point spread out in the desert. So it's tough to find a way to make some money off this team out in the desert, right? Wrong. Let's look at the point totals for these Kentucky games. Other than the second game of the season against Ole Miss, which ended 42-41 when the desert had that total for that game, 63.5. In every other game this season, Kentucky football has gone under the total the odds makers have predicted that would be scored in that game. So Kentucky is 5-1 to the under this season. And in the 5 games they've gone under the total, they've done so by an average of 16.2 points. So they haven't even been close. Talk about rocking chair wins and being able to light up those Mac Daddy Stogies before the game ends. No team in America has a better record going under the point total out in the desert than your Kentucky Wildcats football team. And this doesn't just go for this season. In all SEC games under Mark Stoops, Kentucky has gone under the total out in the desert 62.3% of the time. That's 38-23. That's a return on investment of 20.8%. That's a large enough sample size with a large enough return on investment that we can play that as a trend every single time it comes up. So when you're looking to handicap Kentucky football games, always look to play the under in SEC games when Mark Stoops is coaching. Why? Because history, not cliches or eye tests, tells us that it's a profitable choice. And this is the reason why you listen to this show, because here you get actionable information that you don't get anywhere else in this market, because we actually do the research and show prep, unlike the other shows in this town. And I say this all the time. You might think this is the worst show in Lexington because we talk about sports gambling. And that's not for me to decide. But the one thing I do know is that every time the red light goes on, we're the most prepared show in this market. I can promise you that. So when you say this is a lousy Kentucky football team for 2020, you may be right. The next 4 weeks will determine the level of lousiness on that one. But even in a season that hasn't come close to living up to Big Blue Nation expectations, there's still a way to make a profit and cash some tickets and salvage some kind of enjoyment out of this Kentucky football season. If you could remember that every dark cloud has a silver lining. And that's the bottom line. ESPN Radio 1392.5, the bottom line with Brad Taylor. But when it comes to this Kentucky football team this year, who's to blame for this 2-4 start? There's a lot of people to blame in most people's eyes, because in today's world, when anything goes wrong, it's got to be somebody's fault. The other teams aren't better. The other person just wasn't better. Somebody didn't step up, or any of those other lame cliches people who don't cash tickets much throw around. Somebody has to be to blame. So we go to our friends at Pro Football Focus. They grade all these players out in every school for every team. Every player gets a grade. Is it the quarterbacks? We've been harping on them since August on this show. According to Pro Football Focus, Terry Wilson, 10th of the SEC in terms of player grades at Pro Football Focus. And if you ignore the snap minimums, Joey Gatewood, mostly from that performance against Georgia, he's 30th out of 34 SEC quarterbacks. So is it really the quarterbacks? Well, let's move around a little bit. Is it the running backs? No. Chris Rodriguez rates as the third best player in the SEC and the 9th best running back in all of college football at his position. So it's not him. Then again, he wasn't getting a lot of snaps early in the season. Rodriguez has 175 snaps. A.J. Rose, has 154 snaps. He rates 17th out of 18 running backs in the SEC and 106th out of 119 in all of college football. So you have one running back that's really good, one that's not so good, but yet they've been playing about the same number of snaps all year. Now, in the Georgia game, I think somebody finally came to their senses, and Rodriguez finally got some action. But we'll see going forward. Hopefully, Rodriguez will keep playing because the numbers say he's the better player. But a lot of people in the last couple of weeks have been focusing on the wide receivers. Are the wide receivers as a whole, are they the problem for this Kentucky football team? The numbers say yes. In the latest Pro Football Focus ratings, Josh Ali, 21st in the SEC, 104th in the NCAA. Should that pass? Well, consider you have 14 teams in the SEC. They all probably, in theory, start two receivers. He's 21st. Okay. Allen Daly, the second receiver, 33rd in the SEC in player rating, 207th in all of college football. Well, maybe that's not so good if he's your second receiver. And the third guy, DeMarcus Harris. There's 50 wide receivers in the SEC rated. He ranks 50th. And out of every wide receiver in college football, DeMarcus Harris, there's 297 wide receivers graded in all of college football by Pro Football Focus. DeMarcus Harris rates, you guessed it, 297. He's dead last. So if you're looking for someone or some position or some group of people to blame, maybe it's the wide receivers. Does it fall on Eddie Grant? Maybe so. The way he calls plays, his quarterbacks don't throw it down the field, these wide receivers aren't ready, they can't get separation, all these cliches in terms that you're hearing. But it's if numbers, if you look at those numbers correctly, the wide receivers are underperforming at a distant level past any other position, and they're not even SEC caliber, much less college football caliber. But now we look forward to this week for Kentucky football, a home game against Vandy, Saturday at Kroger Field, just what the doctor ordered, right? Vandy is awful. Yesterday, they lost to Mississippi State. Now they're 0-5 straight up, but 2-3 against the spread. We'll give them that. The days have to be numbered for Derek Mason, their coach, who's now in his 7th year at Vanderbilt. Want to tell you how things are different at Vandy than any other SEC school? How often do you see a coach with a losing record like Derek Mason hang around for 7 years in the SEC? In this day and age, with a record like Mason's, not even at Kentucky could you get away with that. But historically, Derek Mason has made you a little bit of money in certain situations, especially on the road. On the road, against the point spread, Derek Mason at Vanderbilt, never give him a chance, right? Well, against the spread, he's 18-14. That's a winning record. That would have made you some money, including in the SEC, 14-11. Now, how does that happen? Well, people are undervaluing Vanderbilt because as soon as they see the names on the paper, they immediately say, well, there's no way I could take Vanderbilt. So, yes, they're always undervalued out in the desert. Derek Mason against Kentucky, 3-3 career against the spread, including 2-1 here in Lexington. So if you've bet on Vandy at Lexington all three times Derek Mason's come up here, you've turned a profit. Vandy's the worst team in the SEC. And Kentucky, despite their struggles, will be a double-digit favorite this game, and the Lions come out later today. And as lousy as Terry Wilson has been this season, he's a better quarterback than Vanderbilt's Ken Seals, who's 14th in QBR in the SEC and 12th in the SEC in Pro Football Focus ratings. Kentucky's been a home favorite in the SEC 12 times under Mark Stoops. Three of those have been against Vandy. In those 12 games, Stoops is 5-7 against the spread, including 2-6 since the start of the 2017 season. So is Vanderbilt the team you can trust to come to Lexington and win straight up against Kentucky next week? No. They have more issues than National Geographic. COVID-19 issues, quarterback problems, probably a lame duck coach, just to name a few. But conversely, do you trust Kentucky to cover a big point spread as a home favorite? The numbers and history tell us that you shouldn't. And that's the bottom line. ESPN Radio, 1392.5. The bottom line with Brad Taylor. Well, it's that time of year, Big Blue Nation. The Kentucky basketball schedules came out this week. And nothing says mid-November like basketball schedules finally coming out, right? Remember this time last year? Remember when Kentucky beat Michigan State the first game of the season last year? That game was played last November 5th. Today's November 8th, and we aren't even close to having college basketball games yet. But, of course, that's 2020 for you, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to 2020. All the local buzz starting to finally gather some steam around this basketball team now, as football seems to be kind of on the downside due to a poor performance. And all the Wildcat insiders, using that term very loosely, are trying to tell us what's going on in these practices that nobody sees. Player A can jump out of the gym. Player B can shoot the lights out. Player C is a dark horse lottery pick. You hear it year after year. And by midseason, all those things you hear in preseason seem absolutely silly and absolutely like wasting your time, kind of like people telling us that Terry Wilson was going to be a superstar now that he got a haircut and new attitude this summer. But nobody calls out anyone in the preseason for stuff that turns out to be crazy talk by March. Remember Scal Labissiere? In November of 2015, he was the consensus first-round pick of the NBA draft. By June of 2016, he was barely drafted at the end of the first round, mainly because John Calipari had to hustle and get his guy drafted so he could get another number to that UK first-round draft picks under his watch. If you remember, Scal only started 18 out of 36 games at Kentucky, but I digress. It's just another example of how preseason hype regarding individual players especially can often be misleading. So if you're tuning into this show to hear us wax poetic about players we've never seen play and just parroting other media types in town, this probably isn't the show for you. Give us some games where we can look at some numbers. That's a much better job, a much better judge of who's good and who's not good when all this junk you hear in the preseason, the coaches are feeding us in the media and everybody's great and nobody stinks. Give us some actual stats so we can judge for ourselves. And speaking of actual stats, our Lord and Savior of college basketball himself, Ken Pomeroy, came out with his preseason ratings this week. His top four, Baylor, Gonzaga, Duke, Villanova. Wait, where's Kentucky? They have to be top five, right? Well, Ken Pomeroy says, Kentucky has the 11th best team in America to start the season. And here comes the Big Blue Nation Avalanche claiming that Ken Pomeroy is nothing but a biased nerd with a pocket protector. Big Blue Nation will argue when the season ended last year, Kentucky was ranked 29th in his rankings, and that they were the number two seed according to Joe Lunardi, so KenPom is nothing more than a hack. And those numbers, he said, are absolutely right. They were 29th in his ratings, and they were a number two seed before the COVID virus hit last March. But people don't understand about these KenPom ratings is that they're a predictive model on what's going to happen in the future, not a resume based on what has happened leading up to that point. So KenPom wasn't insulting Kentucky last year with a rating well below their projected tournament seed. He was simply saying that the team wasn't going to live up to seeded expectations, much less Big Blue Nation delusional expectations. So when it comes to trying to predict the future, which is what we are in sports talk radio nowadays, I'd much rather listen to a guy like KenPom or Jeff Sagarin or the like than a guy that uses cliches that player A can jump out of the gym, but I digress. For the record, KenPom has Kentucky going 12-6 in the SEC this year, with games at Florida and at Tennessee being the ones where Kentucky has the worst percentage chance to win. But those are topics we will hit ad nauseum down the road. But the UK schedule did come out this week, and unlike recent years with several cupcake non-Power 5 types, teams would waltz into town for a good old-fashioned butt-whooping. This year, there's only three of those cupcakes coming to town. Calipari has phased out the North Carolinas and Indianas of the world for a world of cupcakes. And that's his prerogative, I guess. Morehead, Detroit Mercy, and Richmond are the three cupcakes lined up to come into town this year so that Kentucky can just roll up another victory. All three of those teams will come in the last week of November. So as investors, we should take Kentucky to beat the point spread in all those cupcake games, right? Wrong again. Sure, everybody remembers Evansville last year. Kyle Tucker sure wouldn't let Calipari forget about that game by referring to it multiple times throughout the season, much to Calipari's dismay. Of course, I'm not able to read Kyle Tucker on Twitter because for some reason he blocked me on Twitter when I simply asked one time if he had any statistical data to back up an outlandish claim he once made, and he just simply blocked me instead of replying to me. If you're in this business, you better have thicker skin than that. But yet, I digress again. Let's look at Kentucky versus the cupcakes over the years out in the desert. Easy money for the Cats, right? No, not even close. During Calipari's time at Kentucky as a home favorite versus a non-Power 5, a.k.a. cupcake, in the month of November, Calipari's record against the point spread, 17-23. That's 42.5%. That's a negative 17.2% return on investment. Do you want to be on that side? Not if you want to keep a roof over your head, you don't. Oh, but I'm sure most of these games were early in Cal's time at Kentucky, right? It's gotten better lately. No, it hasn't. In the last three seasons, Calipari is a home favorite against the non-Power 5 team of the month of November, 5-10 against the spread, 33%. So was that Evansville upset last year just an outlier, a lucky punch, or was it par for the course? In our world, against the point spread, it was yet another game against inferior competition that Kentucky didn't live up to expectations out of the desert, and we'll play all three of those cupcakes later this month. Why? Because the data, not emotions, tell us so. And that's the bottom line. ESPN Radio 1392.5, the bottom line with Brad Taylor. Coming up after the break, we'll look at the rest of college football from yesterday, get into today's NFL slate as well. But first, Clark's Auto Service. You can have Bill Clark and his staff out there. They're the best in the business. They've got my cars running like a dream right now. Clark's Auto Service, the best in the business. And getting your car, if you need it set up for the winter, if you need anything worked on it, just anything, even as little as an oil change, Clark's Auto Service, the place to go. You can find them online, clarksautolexington.com. That's clarksautolexington.com. More college and NFL football coming up after the break right here on ESPN Radio 1392.5. ESPN Radio, 1300, 92.5. Back when I had hair, I wish I could have hair to look like these guys. Flock of Seagulls. Yeah. Check those out, kids. Google the Flock of Seagulls hairstyle. Those are for the ages. Thanks for joining us here on The Bottom Line with Brad Taylor on this blessed Sunday morning, 381-1313, if you want to join in on the conversation. More college football from yesterday. Of course, ESPN, their headlines this morning say that it was an epic win in South Bend yesterday for Notre Dame over Clemson. How can you call it an epic win? I mean, you were playing against their backup quarterback. Okay, whatever. But in terms of out in the Vegas, in the desert, Notre Dame upset number one Clemson in overtime, 47-40, after Clemson squandered a 13-point lead. The Fighting Irish won as a 5-point home underdog, which means they were value on that money line, too. They went way over the total in this game. Is this really a game where you can say it's a huge upset? I don't know, especially when you're going up against their backup quarterback. But Clemson, if you believe in conspiracy theories, just said, hey, we may not win this game, but let's sit our star quarterback, Trevor Lawrence, so that maybe, quite possibly, we'll get a little added push by the College Football Playoff Committee at the end, because we could always say, oh, we didn't have a quarterback, we should make the playoff. Yeah, that I'm sure that might have come into thinking on that one. But Clemson's still going to make the playoff if they run the table the rest of the way. A team that won't make the playoff no matter what, Georgia. Number 8 Florida beat number 5 Georgia yesterday in the world's largest outdoor cocktail party. Of course, you can't call it that anymore. I've got a lot of stories about watching that Georgia-Florida game, but I can't tell them because my mom's listening to this show a little too religiously, if you ask me, but that's neither here nor there. Gators won as 3-point underdogs. Had a little value on that money line. So the Gators, now in line to win the SEC East and face Alabama in the SEC Championship game. Georgia has only themselves to blame for a 2-loss season so far, because not only did they lose Jamie Newman, the transfer quarterback from Wake Forest, who is going to be a good quarterback, apparently. He's now practicing for the NFL draft. They also kicked Justin Fields out of town, and Justin Fields is the odds-on favorite right now to win the Heisman Trophy. So if you're Georgia, you've got all these great players, all these great recruiting classes, but you just don't have the quarterback because you kicked the best one you had. You kicked him out of town. You have only yourself to blame. It just goes to show you how important the quarterback is in college football, and that's why we talk about quarterbacks like Terry Wilson so much on this show. Speaking of Justin Fields, Ohio State, big winner yesterday. So it's basically still a three-horse race for the Heisman Trophy. Justin Fields, Mac Jones of Alabama, the former Kentucky commitment, and Trevor Lawrence. I don't know how they could give it to him. But then at the end of the season, Clemson will have been played, what, two or three more games in Ohio State? So it's not like the stats will be any different between Lawrence and Fields. Who knows at this point? Three guys are going to win the Heisman, one of those three I just named. But the college football playoff right now, it's the same as always. Alabama, Ohio State, Clemson, and then whoever the fourth team is. Right now it's Notre Dame. Don't sleep on possibly Oregon in the Pac-12 if they run the table impressively, but they have to run the table impressively. A team that won't be making the playoff, Cincinnati, who's undefeated, 38-10 winners over Houston yesterday, ranked number 6, and they'll probably go up maybe this week. They're not making the playoff. They're not in a Power 5 league. History has told us, no matter who you are, look at the Central Floridas and Boise States of the world, you don't get included in the Reindeer Games if you're not in a Power 5 conference, so why are you even bothering? But of course, the couple of games I really enjoyed seeing yesterday, Michigan, Jim Harbaugh, losing to Indiana. If you had told any Michigan fan before the season, you're going to lose to Indiana, yeah, they would not have sat well with any Michigan fan. A Michigan man will coach Michigan. We don't know how much longer that was. By the way, conspiracy theory I've heard, Harbaugh's gone, Urban Meyer gets back at Ohio State by going to Michigan. That would be just absolute war in the Big Ten. I would love to see that. But you heard it here first, but I wouldn't bet on that happening. But yeah, but Harbaugh is quoted as saying after the game, now that they're 1-2, well, we're close. Close to what? Close to retiring? Close to just going home for the fall? Who cares? We're close. That's somebody just trying to save his job right there. And we have some bad news to tell you. And we blame our good friend Trey McCauley of Best Lexington Homes. You can hear his commercials on this radio station quite a bit. Virginia Tech was an unranked favorite yesterday over number 25, Liberty. And so our big unranked trap that's hit 3 out of 3 this year, all set to go yesterday. But Virginia Tech could not finish the deal with the little timeouts and field goal hinkiness at the end of that game. Somehow, Liberty wins that game over Virginia Tech as an underdog, and they're ranked when Virginia Tech is not. Let's see, how did Liberty become so good? Oh, who's the name of their coach? Oh, Hugh Freeze. You may remember him. He's the guy that coached at Ole Miss and had 27 wins expunged from his record for recruiting violations and was forced to resign when the school found out that he was using a university-issued phone to call resorts escort services and set up appointments. Other than that, he was a perfect gentleman, right? That's like saying, other than the shooting, how did you like to play, Mrs. Lincoln? There you go. And how often do you use the word expunged in your everyday life? Yeah, I don't either. But somehow, by hook or by crook, more likely by crook, Hugh Freeze has Liberty at 7-0. I mean, hey, they beat Syracuse going into that game. Why wouldn't they be a top 25 team? But there you go. Liberty ranked number 25 going into that game. And now our unranked trap is 3-1 on the season. Still a profit, 75%. We're looking at potentially, Miami might be a victim to that one this week. You might have to look ahead and see that one. Other SEC games, Texas A&M and South Carolina. A&M won by 48-3 score. Will Muschamp, his days have to be numbered. He and Derek Mason, those guys have to be gone next year, don't they? Yeah. Mississippi State, 24-17 over Vandy. I'm sure that was a thrilling game, but couldn't be nearly as thrilling as that six-pack bug zapper game. Arkansas, 24-13 over Tennessee. I don't know if this is more Arkansas has improved this year, which they definitely have, or Tennessee is going down the toilet, which they might be doing. And, of course, we were glad to get our favorite game back, the get-back game, our beloved Hawaii Warriors. They were a 13-point favorite. Out in the islands last night. Only won by 6, but who cares? That game started at midnight Eastern. So if you lose all day, you just get back on the Hawaii game that night. That's all you got to do. Next week, if you've got a honey-do list, you might want to get to it because Kentucky-Vandy play at noon. There's no other good games on the schedule, and that's saying that Kentucky-Vandy's a good game, which it really isn't, but that's neither here nor there. Alabama-LSU, that's a game next week. Wisconsin and Michigan playing for their lives. Who knows which team will show up for them. In the SEC, Georgia and Missouri, A&M versus Tennessee next week. Arkansas and Florida, boy, these are boring games next week. Auburn and Mississippi State, followed by South Carolina and Ole Miss. Is there an interesting matchup in any of those? Alabama-LSU would have been interesting in any other year this century besides this one. Neither here nor there. But in the league where they play for pay, it's the Bengals who's going to be playing today. They're not going to be playing, excuse me. They're on a bye week. Usually you can hear them on our classic rock affiliate, 92.1. Who are the best two teams in the NFL against the spread this year? Pittsburgh, 6-1. Cincinnati, 6-2. Who saw that one coming? Ironically, next week, those two teams will be playing in Pittsburgh. They'll be playing at 4:25. It's a game that's had its time changed due to the Masters being changed the next week. I'm sure our golf savant, Matthew Lawrence, will have his opinion on the Masters next week. So make sure to listen to him weekday afternoons at 4 here on ESPN Radio, 1300 and 92.5, as well as his Backspin Golf Show every Sunday at 8 before the bottom line. But who's the better quarterback of that game next week? According to Pro Football Focus, it's not Ben Roethlisberger. It's Joe Burrow. Burrow's ranked 12th in the league. Ben Roethlisberger, 19th. Huh. Joe Burrow, not as bad as we thought he'd be the first year. But then again, A.J. Green is ranked 66th out of all NFL wide receivers. He should be lower than that. So do you really trust those ratings? I don't know. Speaking of ratings, we're going to get to the big ratings booster on this show, our Mac Daddy Stogie Picks. Those will be coming up right after the break here on ESPN Radio 1300, 92.5. But first, got a new sponsor, Bill Morgan Tires. They have locations in Richmond and Lexington. I got some tires recently. Those things run like a dream right now. Bill Morgan Tires. You can find out all his information, BillMorganTire.com. They have locations in Richmond and Lexington. Coming up after the break, the most profitable segment in Lexington Radio, our Mac Daddy Stogie Picks. That's coming up right here on ESPN Radio 1300 and 92.5. ESPN Radio 1300, 92.5. I feel like I'm listening to an old Beavis and Butthead show. Breaking the law. Bottom line with Brad Taylor. Thanks for joining us on this blessed Sunday morning. We're going to get to our picks immediately here. We want to give shout-outs and props to our bottom-line horse racing expert, Payron Harris. On this show last week, he gave us Improbable, who finished second, and 25-1 shot Global Campaign, who finished third. So even though we didn't have the actual winner, which was authentic, I know we cashed a lot of tickets, and we hope you did too. Good call, Peyron. Congratulations. That performance yesterday allowed you to keep your job as bottom line horse racing expert, for now at least. So yes, congratulations to our horse racing expert, Peyron Harris of Richmond. But let's get to the league where they play for pay, the NFL. Seattle heads to Buffalo in a game where you have two top 10 quarterbacks. Russell Wilson, the best quarterback in the league per Pro Football Focus ratings. Josh Allen, number 7. You're looking at the team in Seattle. They're a 2.5, 3-point favorite. We really want the 2.5 in this game because we're going to take Seattle. We don't take favorites very often at all on this show. We're going to take Seattle, giving up 2.5 points. Hopefully, you don't have to give up the 3. Get the 2.5 where you can get it. That's where we tell you to shop around the best you can. Stat of the day in this game, did you know the Bills have not won the AFC East in Josh Allen's lifetime? Not just not the AFC, not the Super Bowl, just the AFC East. That's a 4-team division. So they haven't been able to beat 3 teams for an entire season since 1995. Just think about that for a minute. 3 teams. That's all you got to beat. You couldn't do it. Okay. Our trend for this game since 2003, when the line gets better for the visitor, started at 3, went down to 2.5. And the total's below 61, the total's 50. The visitor covers 58% of the time. 218 up, 158 down. That's Seattle. Seattle 5-2 against the spread this year to go with their 6-1 overall record. Buffalo also 5-2 against the spread and straight up. So you have two good teams. Give us Seattle today on the road. We'll take them to cover that 2.5. Hopefully you can get the 2.5. It's 3 some places. You might want to jump on that quick. Another favorite we're taking today, but a very, very small one. The Baltimore Ravens are a 1-point favorite at Indianapolis. Who's the better quarterback in this game? Well, this season, Pro Football Focus tells us Phillip Rivers is the best quarterback in this game. He's ranked 13th, while Lamar Jackson, coming off a season for the ages last year, is 18th in the Pro Football Focus ratings. Both these teams are AFC contenders, but they're both coming off games where you wouldn't think they were contenders. The Ravens lost at home to the Steelers last week when they were 4-point favorites. And the Colts returned from their bye week with a big win over the Detroit Lions. Of course, they didn't have Matthew Stafford. They easily covered as big road favorites. Our trend for this game, piddling road favorites. When I was a kid growing up on the farm, my dad would ask me to go sit outside with him under the tree as the sun was going down. Then somehow, he got me to start doing work around the farm for him. And then I'd ask him why it was working so hard. When I was just asked to sit out under the shade tree with him, he said, oh, boy, we're just piddling. Sure feels like work, not piddling. Anyway, it feels like the Ravens have been a piddling team, too. Since 2003, when a road favorite of less than a touchdown has won 3 or less of their last 5 overall games straight up, those teams cover 59.7 of the time, 181 and 122. Why? Because the desert is telling you that it's still a quality team, because they're still a road favorite, although they've lost a few games recently. We will rely on that trend today. Give us the Ravens, minus a point, basically a pick 'em, in Indianapolis. And another game that we love today, of course, give us your tired, your poor, your weak. One of the worst teams in pro football, the New York Giants. They're traveling down to Washington. Hail to the football team. Jones, the quarterback for the Giants, ranked 16th, Daniel Jones. Kyle Allen ranked 29th in Pro Football Focus. These teams, they're both pretty bad. Washington 2-5, the Giants 1-7. Of course, Washington coming off a bye and coming off a win against Dallas a couple of weeks ago. This line opened with Washington 3.5-point favorite, but the line has fallen. Now you can get 3, some places 2.5. You might want to kind of jump on this maybe for game time because this line has fallen to 2.5 a lot of places. Our trend for this game, road dogs after a terrible season. Since 2003, a road dog of a touchdown or less coming off a season where they won 6 games or less. That's the Giants in a heartbeat right there. Those dogs hit 58.8% of the time. 238 up, 167 down, including 3-0 this year and including 3 weeks ago in this matchup where Washington was a dog of the Giants and they covered. The Giants will return the favor today. Take the Giants getting 2.5 or 3. Hopefully you get 3. If you just sit around and lollygag, you might get 2.5. We'll take the Giants today, getting 2.5 at the football team. One more game that we like today, and it's a game that I have some trepidation about taking. But the numbers say we should. Houston is a 6.5-point favorite at Jacksonville. Deshaun Watson, despite Houston's struggles this year, Deshaun Watson's the fifth-best quarterback in the league, according to Pro Football Focus, while Jacksonville has a new quarterback, Jake Luton. We don't know anything about him other than he's just starting the quarterback for Jacksonville today. The Texans this year, 1-6 straight up, 1-6 against the spread, and they're coming off a loss against the Packers by 15 points when they failed to cover as 3-point home favorites. The big X factor for Jacksonville is quarterback. The sixth-round draft pick, Jake Luton, will be starting. The Jacksonville Jaguars, what can you say about them? They're just a lousy franchise. They do have value as divisional dogs. These teams met a month ago. Houston won 30-14, and they were 6.5-point home favorites in that one. Now they're 6.5-point favorites on the road. Our trend for this game since 2003, road favorites off a bye. It's a simple one, 68-37. Very simple, 64.8%. We'll take that one. Give us Houston and the Texans today. Deshaun Watson coming back to roost, finally getting a win. Those are your Mac Daddy Stogies for the day. To review, we'll take the Baltimore Ravens giving up one at Indianapolis. We'll take Seattle giving up 2.5 or 3. Hopefully you had 2.5 at Buffalo. We'll take the Giants getting 2.5 or 3 at the football team and lay those points. Give us Deshaun Watson in Houston, laying 6.5 at Jacksonville. Those are your Mac Daddy Stogies. Good luck with those. Hope you can take those bad boys to the desert and smoke them. Coming up after the break, we'll preview what's coming up on ESPN Radio today, and we'll preview the Angelo Show coming up later. But first, in the real world, a friend in need is a friend indeed. But here on the bottom line, a friend in need is a pest. IPM Pest and Termite. Matt Schaefer, our good friend. With the weather changing outside, and it's beautiful now, but it's going to get cooler later this week, you're going to have to do something to get rid of those pests and termites for the winter. Call Matt Schaefer, a good friend at IPM Pest and Termite. Look him up online, myipm.com. That's myipm.com. We'll wrap things up and hand it off to Angelo coming up right here on ESPN Radio 1300 and 92.5. ESPN Radio 1300, 92.5. Now that's a song to get you ready for an NFL Sunday right there. Nothing beats Journey. Very little, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome into the Bottom Line with Brad Taylor. We thank you so much for listening on this Sunday morning, as always. Coming up today on ESPN Radio, an actual cavalcade of stars. We have three games, count them, three games to offer you. At 12:30, Seattle at Buffalo, a game we discussed earlier, where we like the Seattle Seahawks to win this game and cover the spread. At 4 o'clock, Garrett Gilbert is now the quarterback for America's team, as it's a rematch of Super Bowls 10, 13, and 30 as Pittsburgh and Dallas get together. Garrett Gilbert, you are no Roger Staubach. Heck, you're not even Steve Walsh, Steve Pelure, or Babe Laufenberg. Google those guys, kids. Back when I was a kid in olden times, I told my mother this story the other day. She was an elementary school teacher at my elementary school, so I knew I could get away with murder, basically. When I was a kid, you were either a Steelers fan or a Cowboys fan. There was no in between. So at recess every day, one team was the Steelers fans and one team was the Cowboys fans. And of course, they were as stereotypical as you could imagine. The Cowboys fans, I was one at the time. I'm sorry to admit that. We were the popular kids who combed their hair every once in a while and took showers on a somewhat daily basis, while the Steeler fans were unpopular bullies who never combed their hair, and weekly showers were optional for those guys. But of course, I was on the Cowboys team, and everybody wanted to, the Steelers team always wanted to play tackle football, and we always wanted to play two-hand touch, because I knew all those Steelers guys wanted to knock the crap out of me, because I was the son of a teacher who got away with everything. But that's neither here nor there. Of course, one time, one of the Steelers fans, after Christmas, the first day after Christmas, he wore an Earl Campbell Oilers 34 jersey from the wonderful Sears Christmas catalog, which was the original Amazon and eBay. The Sears Christmas catalog, people of my age group looked forward every year to when that thing was delivered. Boy, how do you think the postmen and the postwomen felt delivering those bad boys to every house every year? That thing literally had everything a kid could want. But anyway, upon seeing the Oilers jersey, the Steelers team over there, they said, well, you can't play on our team. You're wearing that jersey. And then he comes over to my team. He goes, I want to play on your team. I'm like, no, you're wearing an Oilers jersey. So, of course, he went off crying and everything. And, you know, but the next day, he came back and he played because he wasn't wearing the Oilers jersey anymore. But, and we never saw him wear that jersey again. And, of course, I see him six months after Christmas. I see him that summer. What's he wearing? That Oilers jersey. I immediately point and yell at the loudest as I possibly could. You're not allowed to play the first day of recess because you're wearing the Oilers jersey. Of course, he had the look of shock and fear on his face. I think he went off crying. Was I evil? Maybe. What's the moral of that story? Sears Christmas catalogs were awesome. And that's the bottom line. Don't ever forget that. Also tonight on ESPN Radio 1392.5, 7:30, Saints and Buccaneers. Here's a trivia question for you. The Buccaneers lost 26 straight games to begin their franchise, and the Saints were the first team to lose to the Bucs back in 1977. The coach and quarterback of that Saints team that lost that game, Hall of Fame coach Hank Stram, he of the wild toupee, look at the before and after on him, and Hall of Fame whining soccer mom himself, Archie Manning. Don't get me started on that guy and that family. I don't have enough time in a show to go over those two guys. Anyway, just like we tell you the truth about UK sports, you may not be able to handle the truth about them. We can say the same about the Manning family. So, yeah, all that and much more today. Listen to those three football games. It'll be great stuff. And as always, we have the voice of the NFL here on ESPN Radio. And don't forget, next week, 92.1 Classic Rock, we'll have the Bengals. We thank you so much for listening to The Bottom Line here on ESPN Radio 1392.5. We've gotten a lot of good feedback, and we appreciate all the listeners that have contacted me, be it Twitter or email or what have you. We appreciate all of you very, very much, and it does not go unnoticed at all. Make sure to follow us on Twitter at BottomLineLex, and if you've missed any part of this show ever, and basically any show we've ever done since we started this past summer, and if you missed our NFL picks against the point spread, you can always go to our website, WLXG.com. You can hear the podcast of our show. You can hear a rerun of our show. And if you just want to hear my voice to put you to sleep at night, there you go, WLXG.com. Make sure to stay tuned for the Angelo Show coming up next here on ESPN Radio, 1392.5. And until the next time, as always, may the winners be yours.